Job chapter 10. We've made it to chapter 10. You know, it's only been like, 6 months, but, we made it to chapter 10. That's great. Job chapter 10. And we're just going to read the first 7 verses tonight out loud. I may get through verse 14, or 13 rather, but I don't think so. We'll see. I'm going to try. But if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able, Job chapter 10, we'll read the first 7 verses. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently there in your Bibles. I'll begin in verse 1. Job says, "My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seeth? Are thy days as days of man? Are thy years as man's days, that thou inquirest after mine iniquity, and searchest after my sin? Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand." Learning new words as I go through Job. I mentioned it by way of definition last week, but I failed to mention the word. The particular word was there in verse 33 called a daysman. How many of you knew what a daysman was? A few. Okay, amen. I'm glad my Bible has a dictionary right there with it. But it's basically an umpire or a mediator. And so Job was, remember I mentioned Jesus Christ being our mediator, and we talked about that, but I forgot to mention the word. The word was daysman there in verse 33. But as we move forward, Job is kind of settling in. Can you feel his words coming together? If you look at the beginning of this book, you see Job kind of in a daze, right? He's been punched hard. And he's kind of just hurting from it. I don't know if anybody's just been, if you will, sucker punched, okay? You're kind of in a daze for a little bit until you kind of, your head stops spinning and you figure, oh, okay, that's what's going on, okay? I mean, you come out of that shock, you come out of that thing. So, I know he sat with his friends for a long time in silence. And then right off the bat, Eliphaz comes out swinging. And then Job rebuttals. And he swings back. And then Bildad comes out swinging. And now Job is kind of swinging back. But Job is now, after he's talked with his friends for quite a bit of time, he's reasoned these things out. His friends, if you will, have made some truthful comments. All right? But they're just seeing one side of the picture.
Right.
They're only seeing that God judges evil. That's all they're seeing. And unfortunately, sometimes that's what we think, right? We see something negative come into somebody's life, and we say, oh, God's judging them. Well, not necessarily. And how about this? Sometimes we loathe things. For instance, think about this. There's a song in our hymn book that talks about this. We think that, oh, the wicked are getting all the riches and having all the fun. Why isn't God judging them? Folks, we have no clue. We have no idea what's going on in their lives. So we are not good judges of circumstances. We've got to leave that in the hands of God. And, of course, that's what Job is getting to at the end of chapter 9. And I want you to understand, he says, that's why I ended last week with this in verse 35. Then would I speak and not fear him? He says, but it is not so with me. Okay, so Job said, I'm not doing this. This is not who I am. I'm one that fears God, that eschews evil. I am a perfect and upright man. I am these things. And now here, in the first 7 verses of this chapter, he kind of goes on a little bit of strength. Okay, he says, look, I am not going to give up my complaint. I am going to speak in the bitterness of my soul. I'm going to go to God and ask him Why are you doing this to me? He's getting a little bold. Okay? He's waking up from the shock, if you will. And he says, look, I am weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. He says, I'm not going to stop complaining until I'm satisfied here. Okay, now, I'm not saying that this is, if you will, good or bad, but he is owning what's going on, and he wants to find some answers. Because if you think about it clearly, no one has given him any answers yet. And when I say no one, Eliphaz answers, we've already talked about that, those were from the devil. We know that to be true. Because a spirit is not going to condemn God and condemn God's creation, if you will, not a spirit from God. So this is an evil spirit. And so Eliphaz is condemning Job because not because of biblical things, but because of this vision he saw. Bildad is just jumping right on top of that. And so these people, they don't have the answers. They don't know why God is doing this. They just think they do. And Job doesn't even know why. God has not told Job what's going on. He has not revealed to him anything. He has not sent him any angels. He has not sent him any visions. He has not sent him even his own word. He has done nothing to indicate why this is happening. And so Job is going through this. He says, and just think about this, because these seven verses tell us all about this. He says, look, I'm not wicked. I'm a sinner, but I'm not wicked. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not what Eliphaz says I am. I'm not what Bildad says I am. And he goes on. Look at this, what he says. He says he's not going to let go of his complaint. He says he's going to speak in the bitterness of his soul. He is weary of his life. And in verse 2, he says, I will say unto God, do not condemn me. He says, goes on and he says, show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Now, I do not believe this is brash. I do not believe this is in anger. I do not believe he is putting up his fist and ready to fight with God. I don't believe that at all. I just believe he's gotten his faculties about him. Maybe because of his two friends that have already contended with him. And he's looking, and now he's looking for answers. And maybe the sting of the death of his kids and the sting of the loss of all of his possessions and the sting of the boils and the sores and the weariness of life has gotten to him. And now he's saying, look, God, I can't think of anything in my life that's amiss. Show me. Show me. Because if you think about Job in the right light, which we ought to, because God paints the picture correctly. Amen. Job is an upright man. He is just. He is perfect. He does fear God. He does eschew evil. Job's a good guy. And you know what? Job knows he's a good guy, but not to a sense of pride. But he is just. Even so much that he was willing, remember, to offer sacrifices for his kids just in case they did sin against God. That's a good guy. And he's just coming into his own. He's coming into his own mindset. And he says, now he's getting a little, and I hate to use this word, but it kind of gives the attitude. He's a little punchy. He's saying, okay, God, please understand the humor here, okay? God, we're 10 chapters into this and you still haven't told me what's going on. Okay? No, you understand. I don't know how long it's been. I don't know if it's been days, weeks. Well, no, it's been days and weeks. I don't know if it's been months. I don't know how long this. Nobody knows how long this has gone on. But I want you to understand. He's finally saying, God, show me. Show me, God, so I can know. And listen, we ought to have that attitude as Christians. If there is something going on in our lives, wouldn't it be nice to know if it's because of sin or if it's just a fiery trial that's supposed to develop patience in our lives or whatever? Remember, James says, count it all joy when you enter into diverse temptations, right? And it says, let patience have her perfect work so that you may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. But folks, we ought to long for that, folks. You say, well, but I don't know if I really want to you know, those things to come in my life. But if it makes me a better Christian, then fine. So be it. Or if it can have an effect that someone else can be saved, so be it. I mean, do you think that Jim Elliot is sorry that he lost his life so young? It came to mind because my daughter's reading Through the Gates of Splendor for her paces. You know, no, he's not. Do you think Adoniram Judson losing all those wives there and not seeing converts there in Burma? I met a guy a week of soul winning last week, teen. I don't know if Adoniram Judson won his grandpa, but he said his grandfather was the first one in the northern province of Myanmar to be saved. And now he's in America. His brother's a pastor. And when I knocked on his door, I gave him a track, and I said, I'm Pastor Combs from Lighthouse Baptist Church. He goes, I'm a Baptist. I'm like, so am I. You know? And it was great. We had a wonderful time talking to one another. But listen, do you think they say, well, I wish that didn't happen to me? No, those guys aren't going to say that. Because they know that, of course, now that all the fruit of that trial and that tribulation. Job's going through the same thing. He just wants to know now. So look here in verse 3, he says, is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Okay, but don't take this question the wrong way. Job's not contending with God. He's not saying, God, you shouldn't be doing this to me. He's just saying, God, the way that you're doing this is helping the wicked think poorly of me and you. You see what he said there? He says, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked. So, listen, but it's not for us to ask why, if you will. It's for us to do or die, right? I mean, that you've heard that before. And you have to realize, but Job is concerned because he is perfect. He is upright. He does fear God. Job is concerned with the reputation of God. Because both Bildad and Eliphaz have hinted at, or Eliphaz outright said it, that God shouldn't be doing this, right? Or that God can't, remember the dream, the vision that he had? That God couldn't even take care of his own creation. So there's mud being slung on the name of God, and Job's concerned about that. And he also says, God, you made me. Now we know the verses, I could go through all of them if you have about 3 hours. But we have so many verses that talk about God and Him creating us. And let me get to my thingy here. Here we go. And the work of His hands. Isaiah 64, Psalm 119, Job 10, Psalm 138. I could go on and on. But listen, God has created us. Here we go. Ephesians 2. Isaiah 64, Jeremiah 18, he's the potter, we're the clay. And we're going to get to this in another verse here in just a moment. But God's not going to despise his own handiwork. But it seems like he is. Remember, because Job's contending, I'm righteous, I'm not a hypocrite. Eliphaz and Bildad are saying, you are a hypocrite. You have to be. Otherwise, God wouldn't be doing this. So Job is saying, God, let me put it to you this way. I don't think this is the best approach. Right? Because God, it appears that you're despising the work of your hands because, God, you made me. And Job doesn't know at this time what God had said to Satan about him. But please understand, Job is not a babe in Christ, if you will.
He's a mature Christian. So he knows his status with his God. He spent the time in prayer. He has spent the time walking with God and talking with God. He knows his God and God knows him. So he says, God, is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress? That thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands? Because right now, does it appear to be that way? It does. It appears to be that way. So Job's asking these hard questions. But by the way, he's not losing his integrity. And he's not cursing God. He's just waking up from the sting of everything and saying, all right, I'm going to ask some hard questions now because I want some answers. So then he says this, hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seest? So he's asking God, God, do you see like we see? Do you see? Because look, Eliphaz sees it this way, and Bildad sees it this way, and I see it this way. God, are you sure this is the thing you want to do? Because it appears as though this is not working out very well. Look at verse 5. Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days? So he's saying, God, are you like us because we're creating your image? Do you understand the weariness of my life? Because if you go back to verse 1, he says, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God. So he's asking God, God, do you understand my infirmities? Now, folks, why is this important to us, the Christian? Jesus Christ is God with us. He experienced what we experienced. He saw with eyes of flesh. His days were numbered as our days were numbered, if you will. Do you understand what I'm saying? He went through the trials and struggles. He went through the temptations. We have that as a solace, everyone. Think about what Job is asking. Job is asking, God, do you know how I feel? God, do you know how this looks? Do you see the words he used? Do you have eyes of flesh, God? Do you have numbered days? Do you understand what it is to lose a loved one? What it is to lose your wealth? What it is to be falsely persecuted and accused? God, do you know these things? Look at verse 6. He says, that thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin. He says, God, Are you looking for something? Do you not know me? Are you trying to see if there's something in me that's broken? Of course, I think Job knows all the answers to these questions. But realize, when you're in this struggle, you'll probably ask the same questions he's asking. Because we don't always know what God is doing. Andrew, where's Andrew? There's Andrew. Hi, Andrew. Andrew was telling me just a little while ago, he said, Pastor, I think my experience yesterday, right, is a lot like your experience last September. Last September, I lost a loved one. My truck of 15 years. Unexpectedly. And as I was sitting in the intersection, my first thought was, lady, why did you hit me? My second thought was, God, why are you taking my truck away from me? And I'm like, what? So I don't know. Looking back now, I'm like, okay, what did I do today that God would be mad at me about to take my truck away from me? You know? And listen to me. I came to realize after a few days that God was trying to bless me in that circumstance. Amen. Because at 204,000 miles on a vehicle, that at that time was 22 years old, things break down. And it doesn't matter what brand of vehicle they are, they break down. And you know what? If my truck would have broken down, then I would have to replace it. So God broke my truck so he could replace it for me. No, that's the conclusion I came to. Does that seem reasonable?
Seems reasonable to me.
Okay? So, we don't know why God does things. And it may, and I know that that has not even come close to losing a real loved one. But I love my truck. Okay? Now, I love my new truck, but newer. No, it's not newer. It's the same age. But God gave it to me. Yeah, never mind. And now, that's a rabbit I don't want to chase right now. I don't have time.
Now, look, God takes care of us. So he says, God, what are you doing here? So look at verse 7. He says, and we're going to stop here tonight. I'm not going to get to 8 to 13. But look at verse 7. He says, thou knowest that I am not wicked. So he finally says it. All right?
He admitted to Bildad that he is a sinner, that he does sin. Okay? He's not some perfect, righteous, never sinful person. But he says, look, God, you know I'm not like the wicked. Because remember, that's what Bildad said he was. That's what Eliphaz said he was. You, Job, you have to be an evil man. You have to be wicked. You have to be a hypocrite. Otherwise, God would not do this to you. He would not oppress the righteous. That's what they're saying. So he looks up to heaven. He says, God, after he asks all these questions, he says, God, you know my status. By the way, does God know his status? Yes. God knows our frame. All these things come upon us under the orchestration of God Almighty. I like to think about it this way. I've sat in my office and I've thought about this. Would God ever be able to bring my name up to Satan? And I think every time I've had that thought, I've bowed my head in shame and said, nope. It's a wonder that Job has gone through this. But he says, God, thou knowest that I am not wicked. He says, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Remember, he's been telling his friends, you can't contend with God. God's going to do what God's going to do. And you and I have no control over it. So he's asked these questions, and then he makes a defining statement of where he is in his spirituality. He says, God, you know I'm not wicked. And God, you know that there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. And folks, we've got to come to the place where we submit ourselves to God. That we know our state before God. And we know his state before us. He's the deliverer. He's the one in control. Jesus Christ is our mediator. He's our go-between. He is our umpire, right? We talked that daysman. He's the one advocating for us. But we need to have a state before God that says, God, you know I'm not wicked. I don't know. Now, there are times that I can say that. And I hope more times than not times. But do you understand? We have got to grow to that kind of a place. We've got to have that 1 John 1:9 mentality. By the way, I'm going to get to this later. We also have to have an Ephesians 2:10 mentality. That we're his workmanship, created unto in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So that we can say, God, you know I'm not wicked. And you know that no one can deliver out of your hand. Where's your confidence level in your God? Where's your confidence level in your Christian life? Because I see chapter 10 kind of as a waking up time for Job. He's kind of coming out of that daze. And he's starting to ask good questions. And he's starting to make sense in giving good responses to what who God is and what God is and who Job is in this circumstance. And we've got to be aware of our life for Jesus Christ before God Almighty. We need to take an account. What does Paul say in Corinthians? Let a man examine himself. We need to take account of our lives and we need to ask these hard questions. And we need to look at God and say, God, you know that I'm not wicked. Oh, I sin, but I'm not like the evil. I'm not like the wicked. I don't lie in wait for people's blood. I don't do these things. And by the way, we're not diversifying whether we're a good sinner or a bad sinner. We're just saying, God, I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to order. Is this because of sin in my life? Or is this a trial to make me a better Christian? And Job's just asking good questions. And we need to learn from these experiences that these saints of God went through in the Old Testament.